This evening, we are going to use 40 minutes to discuss a topic using our talent or gift to serve God. And this topic will give us an impression that if I don't have gift, then I cannot serve God. Oh. And this impression will create some kind of obstacle to engage in the holy work. So some of the church members, they feel they have no gift. So after the service, they just go. Why don't you serve God in the church? Because I don't have gift. So first we have to understand, even you don't have gift, you still can serve God. Why do we say so? For example, in San Jose Church, few weeks ago, in the lunchtime, some of the youth, some small kids or J1 or J2, they are vacuuming in the chapel to prepare for afternoon service. They are small kids. They are J1 and J2. You can see they have no gift, but they still can vacuum the floor. Right? So you have no gift, you still can serve God, vacuum the floor. Right? If you have no gift, you still can wash the dishes. Right? If you have no gift, you still can clean the toilet. If you have no gift, as long as you know how to drive to work, right, you still can go to the airport to give somebody a ride or pick somebody to the church. So we cannot say, I have no gift, so I cannot serve. A lot of work, you don't have gift, but you can serve. A basic maintenance of the church, everybody need to be involved. Of course, some members say, I have no gift, so I cannot cook. It can be true, it cannot be true. In one of the big churches, more than 200 membership, there's a cooking team. All the brothers organize a cooking team. And they still provide the lunch. The members are very appreciative. Whenever this team of brothers cook, everybody just praising the lunch is so wonderful, so delicious. Actually, it's not. Right? They have no gift, but they still serve. And still, they lessen the burden of the sisters. Everybody appreciate it. So we cannot say, I have no gift, so I cannot serve. So having no gift sometimes will become an excuse of participating no holy work at all. Even if we don't have the gift, one thing definitely you can serve. Let's see Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiping and day and night, and fasting and prayer. Yes, 37. 37 talk about the prophetess of Anna. When she was in 84 years old, she never left the temple and worship or serve God day and night. How? By fasting and prayer. Prayer is a way to serve God too. So how come we encourage everybody come and the church and 10 a.m. to pray for the church? Because I don't have the gift of prayer. So I only come and attend the service. To pray, you don't need to have a gift, As long as you kneel down and pray, use your heart to praise God. To pray to God, you don't need an eloquency, like you deal with other people. You don't need some kind of the eloquency like a salesperson try to sell somebody to God. You need to use your heart and pray to God, and God will listen. But somebody say, I don't have gift, I cannot kneel too long. That's an excuse too, How can you pray long? The more you kneel down and pray, the longer you can pray. That's the only secret. So if you cannot pray long, the best way is you start from now. Today, 10 minutes. Tomorrow, 11 minutes. The day after, 12 minutes. After 30 days later, you can pray for 30 minutes. 60 days later, you can pray for 60 minutes. So if you practice in this way, then you can pray long. So a lot of things in the church, you don't have the gift, but you still can serve God. And prayer is very, very important. Just like this afternoon, we heard the testimony. In one period of time, Boston Church really have a lot of truth seekers. A lot of people experience the grace of God. I look at them, a lot of them are only youth, are newly baptized, or the students. In terms of gift, they are not very gifted. In terms of talent, spiritually, they are not very talented. But in that period of time, the Holy Ghost is still growing. Why? Because everybody know how to serve God by kneel down and pray. So that is the way we serve God. So if you don't have the gift of personal evangelism, you invite nobody to the church, then you can come to the church early to pray, and that is the way you serve. So this is the first point we have to understand. Without special gift, you still can serve God. You still can serve God effectively if you know how to pray. So this is the first point. The second point, God's commission comes with gift. Sometimes you see a person, the reason I cannot become a full-time minister. Do you know why? Because I don't have the gift. So I cannot be a full-time minister. This can be right, and this also can be wrong. Why? Because if you look into the biblical example, a lot of them, when they were called, they did not know they have gift. So they decline. They feel unworthy. But once they were sure God wants to use them, they accept God's calling, and that God give them gift to accomplish God's commission. So the gift will accompany commission. If a person is very sure this is what God wants you to do, then you should be very sure God will give you a tool to accomplish the commission He wants you to accomplish. So this is what we understand, the second point. Not because you have the gift, so God call you to serve Him. In the Bible, I cannot say this example. A person is very talented, very gifted, so God call you, serve me, because you are very talented, you are very gifted, so God wants to use you. I can never find this example. Can you find any example? Moses, he was a well-learned person. Moses. So he was very eloquent. But at that time, God did not use him. Maybe in his mind, he thought, I'm the most gifted. I'm very well learned. So I should be most qualified. But God did not use him. Until he was 80 years old, when God wanted to use him, he said, who am I? All of a sudden, he felt he was unworthy. He has nothing to accomplish God's entrustment. And that time, God said, I am going to be with you. So the gift of God given to Moses, the time God entrusted him, not before the time God entrusted him with a task to do. So this is what we have to understand. Can you find anyone in the Bible God give the person gift first and give him the work second? Almost you cannot find this. So if we want to serve God, the most important thing is, no, what do you want me to do? This is the most important thing. If you are sure God wants you to do this, God will give you tool, and that tool is your gift. Let's see. Jeremiah chapter 1. The book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The words of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I found you, formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Verse 6. Almighty Lord, I say, I do not know how to speak. Now, I am only a child. So when God revealed his will to Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, I'm only a child. I don't know how to speak. I cannot do that. Oh. And what was the mission God wants Jeremiah to accomplish? This is a very important but very difficult mission. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, and to build and to plant. This is something very difficult. Jeremiah's work is to destroy, to overthrow, and to uproot, to tear down. It's not building. If it is building, it's easier, right? Building, you tear down, the building will never do any harm to you. But he is going to tear down, uproot, destroy, overthrow what? People's old thinking, people's behavior of worshiping God. That's something difficult, because they are going to resist and they are going to persecute Jeremiah. And only after you can totally destroy your old concept, old lifestyle, then your new lifestyle can be built up. So this is a very difficult task. And then, verse 8. And do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declare the Lord. I will be with you. So that is the source of the gift. The source of the gift is God himself. So if God says, I will be with you, means you are going to have the gift. So later on, the whole book of Jeremiah, you see, Jeremiah had the wisdom to understand God's will. Jeremiah had the courage to confront the king. And Jeremiah had the faith to go through the endurance. Jeremiah had the mercy to their own chosen people. That all come from God, God's gift. So even the same with Peter. According to the Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that this man had been with Jesus. You see, when Jesus chose 12 disciples, he did not choose Pharisees. Pharisees are well-versed about the Old Testament. Pharisees are religious leaders in that generation. So Jesus Christ could have chosen the Pharisees and Pharisees could serve God. But Jesus Christ chose Peter, the one who catch the fish, the one who was unschooled. So when Peter was chosen, Peter never think about, Lord, I'm not schooled. Lord, I have no gift. So Lord, how can I serve you? How can I preach the gospel? Peter did not think about that. The only thing Peter is what? Set aside all the fish and the boat and follow Jesus Christ. And after he followed Jesus for 3.5 years, and before Jesus' ascension, and promised, you are going to receive the Holy Spirit. And commissioned him. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, Holy Spirit then descended on him, and he became a very gifted worker of God. He spread the gospel in Jerusalem among the Jews, because God gave him gift to accomplish God's commission. So today is the same. Today is the same. The most important thing is you have to understand what God wants you to do. That is the most important thing. If you understand this is surely what God wants you to do, surely God will give you the tool to accomplish His commission. So this is what we have to understand. Not the receiving the gift first and commission comes second. But understand God's commission first and the tool, the gift will follow. This is the second point. The third point. The more gift we use, and the more gift will be acquired. So gift is not like money. Do you know? If you make $100,000 per year, you buy a new car, buy this and that, all of a sudden $100,000 gone. Right? The more you use, the less you have. So that is the reason we have to accumulate the money for rainy days. A lot of people who are homeless, do you know? Originally, they were very high income. But why? They never save. So once been laid off, you have no money to pay the mortgage, then you become homeless. So gift is not like money. Since gift, it comes from the source of God. And God is a living God. God is unlimited. So God can provide unlimited gift to a person. But when God wants to provide unlimited gift to a person, God wants to see whether the person is willing to serve. The more you serve, the more gift God is going to give to you. Let's see Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. So from 14 onwards, talk about the one talent, two talent, and five talent, right? Those who use five talents earn another five talents. Those who use two talents earn another two talents. And those who have one talent buried on the ground. And then even the one talent was taken away by the master. So what does that mean? If you have five talents, you are more gifted than others. If we don't use our gift, and later on, God is going to take away even the five talent gift. For example, if you start to learn how to deliver a sermon, right? And you find out God give you the gift of delivering a sermon, you can deliver a quite good sermon. But later on, you keep on decrying, I'm so busy, I'm this and that. After you decrying for a period of time, all of a sudden you find out you've been assigned to deliver a sermon, you cannot deliver a good sermon. Why? Because for a long time you did not use, God already take it out. When you visit the United Kingdom, you know, the United Kingdom, for those who are about 40 years and above, they are all fishermen in Hong Kong. They are really unschooled. But you listen there and sit there and you listen their sermon. They are very gifted, talented. Originally, they are fishermen, not very learned. Why? Because from the late 1970s, they start to revive their faith. And then they start to learn how to deliver sermon. Spend a lot of time prepare, read a lot of spiritual article, and pray a lot. So when they engage more, they put on more, try to have the job done well. And God look in their heart. So God give them more gift. So they become very talented in delivering a sermon. So this is a very positive example. The more you use gift, the more you know you are going to receive the gift. We have a sister right now pass away. The time she passed away, a lot of people attend her funeral. Maybe some of you know who. When she passed away, somebody counted that she almost brought more than 100 people to the Lord. 130 or 140. Originally, she was a Presbyterian church members. And she converted to Christ. She know the treasure in the TJC. So she started to bring the friend to the TJC. The more she bring the friend, the more God give her the gift. So she brought a lot of people because God give her the gift according to her willingness to serve. There was one of the sister, she passed away about 100 years old. When I was in high school, I stayed in the church. this elder sister stay in the church too. Oh. Sometimes nobody did the service, and this sister will come and did the service. Oh. And the sister was unschooled. Oh. And she only gave the sermon about the topic, the story she knew from the Bible, the story of David, the story of this and that. Oh. And then the sister herself brought about 50 members to the church. To the church after she converted to Christ, because God gave her the gift. So if we want to have a more gift, the best way is start to accept God's work and start to put effort into it. And God will look into your heart and give you the gift. And you are going to be more gifted. So this is one of the very important points we have to understand. Point four. A gift is a tool to achieve God's commission. So a lot of people will become proud because of gift. Right? I'm more gifted than you, and he is more gifted than me. So we are trying to compare the gift. And those who have gifted feel very proud of them about themselves. When you deliver a sermon, nobody sleeps. When other people deliver a sermon, everybody's sleeping. So you are proud about yourself, right? You compare the gift. But the gift itself is only a tool. What really can benefit us is you use the tool to glorify the name of God and to edify others. That's what really gives us the benefit. But if we don't use the tool itself doesn't represent our own personal value. So in the final judgment, God is not going to judge how many gifts you have. You see, God was not judging the person who had 5,000. No. What God cares is, do you use the 5,000 to earn money? Which means, do you use the gift God gave to you to do something? And God gave another one only 2,000. What God cares is not the 2,000 he earned. What God cares is, he has done his best to use the gift to earn the money. And the reason God did not like the 1,001, one talent one, not because he has only one talent, but because he did not use the gift given by God. So a person who has a lot of gift, if the person don't want to use in the final judgment of day, maybe will be driven out, like the one talent. If this one talent people, even one talent, if he really use his one talent, try to earn another talent, only two talent, compared with the 10 talent, it's only 20% of the outcome. But what happened? God will accept him and let him go into the kingdom of God. So gift itself does not represent a person's value. The person's value depends on how much you use a gift to serve God. That will determine your value in front of God. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I planted the seed, Apollo water, but God made it grow. Verse 6 say, I plant the seed. Paul had the gift of evangelism. And Apollo watered it. Apollo had the gift of following up. And you can see these two gifts have to work together. It had to work together. So we cannot say the gift of planting the seed is more important. Neither can we say the gift of watering is more important. If Paul did not have the gift of planning, then where can the Apollo do the watering? If Paul has the gift to do the planning and nobody to do the follow-up, every plant will die eventually. So these two gifts is not to compare which one is more important. These two gifts is to work together to achieve God's goal. So this is what we have to No. Oh, so in the church, we are not going to compare this gift and that person's gift. Oh, we are going to use different gifts to work together for the good of the church. Oh, but the decisive factor is the Lord make it grow. That is a determining factor. So when we use a gift and eventually there are some fruit come out, it's because the Lord make it grow. You can do your best to do it, but if the Lord don't want to work, you are going to find out, even you are very gifted, still nothing happened. Now, so this is what we do understand. Okay. Now, we look into the next verse. Verse 7. So neither he who plant nor he who water is anything. So not the person who has gift in front of God can count something. Person itself is only a vessel. Even very gifted is only a vessel. So the gift itself does not make a person become something. So Paul and Apollo, they have the gift, but it's not anything. But only God who make things grow. Only God is something. Other than God, or the gifted person are nothing. And then, why the Bible have to say so? Because if you look into the book of Corinthians, chapter 1 and chapter 2, in the church of Corinth, there's a division. I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollo. I belong to Peter. I belong to Jesus Christ. Because Paul are very gifted. Apollo are very gifted. And Peter are very gifted. Members, some of them like the gift of Paul, some of them like the gift of Apollo, some of them like the gift of Peter. Because of the gift, they become divided. So Paul tried to tell them, the gifted person is nothing. It's only a vessel. Those who can make nothing become something is God himself. So only God is deserved to be worshipped. The gifted person should not be worshipped. If God take away the gift, then what happened? They become ordinary person. This is what we have to understand. Verse 8. The man who plants the water and the man who water have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his labor. Even we have different gifts, but eventually we will receive the same labor. We will receive the same rewards. Do you know evangelical work? Typically can use a number to express the result. And all this time, how many people receive Holy Spirit? How many people receive baptism? All right. But the pastoring work, you have no way to use a number to express the result. This spiritual convocation, the members' faith grow 50%. Can you say so? This spiritual convocation, the members' faith grow 80%. Can you say so? There's no way you can use a number to express that. But can we say because the evangelical gift can use a number to express it, so it's more valuable than the pastoring work? You cannot say so. That's because the Bible says so. Everyone will reward according to their labor. Verse 9. For we are God's fellow worker, but you are God's field, God's building. We are nothing but God's fellow worker. This is the four very basic principles we have to understand the gift. After we understand the four basic principles, then using our talent to serve God, we can think about from another way to think about this. First, we understand what God wants us to do. This is the first one. Then the second, since God wants you to do this job, let's pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit will bestow you gift according to the need of the church, according to the need to accomplish God's commission. Let's see 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4 to verse 11. 4 to 11. There are different kind of gift, but the same spirit. So same spirit give different kind of gift. So we should not use different kind of gift cause confusion, because it's come from same spirit. There are different kind of service, but the same Lord. Yes, different serve from different position, but we serve the same God with the same purpose to make the body of Christ grow, which is the church. So we should not, because of different gift or holding different office, and argue each other and cause spread of the church, downfall of the church. That is not the purpose. No. And then there are different kind of working, but the same God work all for them in all men. Verse 7. Now each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit of message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another the faith and the same Spirit. And to another the gift of healing, that one Spirit. And to another the miraculous power. And to another the prophecy. To another the distinguished spiritual gift. To another the speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another the interpretation of tongues. So you can see, you count almost 9 different kind of gifts come from the same Holy Spirit. Usually, in our common feeling, seems the gift of performing the miracle, wonder, and sign is the most important. So if somebody try to testify about miracle and wonder and sign, a lot of people open the eye and look, oh, God is working mightily. But if we look into the sequence, what is the most important gift? The most important gift is what? It's a message of wisdom. What does that mean? God gives us a gift so you can interpret the Bible very correctly. You can convey God's will very precisely. So people, after listening the message, they can have the spiritual wisdom to understand God's will, to live a life according to God's will, to fully glorify the name of God, to praise God. And this is the most important gift. So if a lot of people have that kind of gift, we know how to apply the teaching of the Bible in our daily life, then our life can shine the glory of God. You know, a lot of people, they receive the Holy Spirit, and they receive miracle and wonder and signs. You look into their lifestyle has never been changed. Why? Because they don't know the truth. And they don't know how to pray, being filled by the Holy Spirit. They experience miracle. So miracle itself cannot transform a person's life. Really can transform a person's life is the words of God enlighten you to that you know your older self, to that you know what is God's will. It's the power of the Holy Spirit enable you to transform yourself to become a new nature that really can make you glorify God's name in every different situation, in every different kind of environment. So this is the first one. The second gift is the gift of the message of knowledge, to that more people understand more the teaching of the Bible. And that is a gift. And the third one, another one by the same Spirit, another gift of healing. That the healing come to third and fourth. So if we pray, being filled by the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit will give us gift according to the need of the church, according to the need of what God wants us to accomplish. So this is what we don't have to worry about too much about the gift. Only we have to worry is, what do God want me to do? And do I pray hard enough to be filled by the Holy Spirit? And then next point, we come to a little bit know about our gift. How can we know whether I have the gift or not after I pray for so long time? I think there are a few ways. The first way is by self-examination. The second way is by evaluation of others. The third way is by revelation of God. Self-examination. You look into your past service record, then you know whether we have the gift or not. In the spiritual convocation coming, and we have been trying very hard, we bring the true seeker. Yeah, we can only bring one or two. Yes, we do have the gift, but we don't have too much gift. But if we bring the true seeker and a lot of people want to follow us to the church, that means we have more gift of the personal evangelism. So we look into our past record, then we will understand our own gift. Or if we look at our present work, if our present work become very effective, that means we have the gift. And the third one is by evaluation of others. In TJC history, there was an elder, not United States. After the Second World War, originally he was in Indonesia. He ran a very huge factory. And the Japanese occupied the Indonesia and confiscated everything he had. So he was very, very down and disappointed and went back to his hometown empty-handed. So at that time, he wanted to become a full-time minister to serve God. But for another elder who knew him at that time, he was only a brother. Another elder who knew him said, I don't think your gift is to be a full-time worker, because that elder had been listening to his sermon quite often. And every time he delivers sermon, a lot of people fall asleep. He tried and he prayed and he prepared. Still, a lot of people fall asleep. So the elder say, I don't think your gift is full-time minister. Right? If we have this kind of gift, then after the Sabbath service, everybody become energetic, because during the service time, everybody sleep. Right. So later on, this brother just quit the program and start to running the business, and he earn a lot of money and contribute to the church. I know one of the church property, that piece of land, was donated by this brother, and even the building was the money was contributed by this brother. And that time, the GA chair, if the church lacked any money, that about 40 years ago, 50 years ago, the economic situation in that piece of land was very poor. And no money, make a phone call, and their brother will write a check. So his money is God's money. So he has understanding, this is a gift that come from God, so my money is God's money. So he has money to making the donate to the church. So by the evaluation of others, of course, if we want to know our talent or gift, sometimes we'll accompany with our upbringing. For example, you go through the school, your major is English, right? But when it's time for writing, maybe you are the one more gifted, right? Because your major is English. So you will know this time your own gift by your own major. For example, church want to elect somebody to keep account or do the auditing. For those who receive the training as an accountant, maybe you are more suitable to them. And you ask some of the brothers who are blind in numbers. It's very difficult for keep the record, right? So from our own major, we know maybe in this field we can serve God. So to utilize our gift, and the more we are going to receive the gift, and the more we receive the gift, the more we serve in front of God, we will become a more valuable person. Let's pray in silence. Amen. Well, we have 20 minutes prayer, huh? Yeah, followed by 20 minutes prayer. Then we have 70 minutes of fellowship. So right now it's time for prayer. Let's pray and be filled by the Holy Spirit, and God will give us gift according to the need of the church. Oh, so being filled by the Holy Spirit is the most essential thing to receive the gift. So every time, everybody, you are welcome to come forward and let's pray together for the fullness of Holy Spirit. Until 8:40, then I will ring the bell. Let's kneel down and pray.